welcome to the DestoProds.com AMA Manga Podcast. I'm going to leave that in.
Oh, lovely. That's going to be great.
Yeah. As always, the show is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors. But today, it is brought to you by... Fuck, I forgot to pick a sponsor.
Good job, man. First you forget the news, then you forget sponsors.
Actually, split reason. They have Geek and Gamer themed shirts, and until Monday, October 1st, you can get 15% off, you can get, I believe, 10% off your order by using the promo code PLASMIDS.
Kabe, you used that one twice in a row.
Hey, they have the promo code up. It's only available for the next, 2 days after this comes, 3 days after this comes up. So, gotta let people know.
Sorry for interrupting the sponsor message. I thought you were done.
People who listen to this might not listen to the beginning of this podcast, but they still might like Geek and Gamer themed shirts, so they need to know about this shit. Yeah. So click the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banner ads on the site for split reason, and check out the promo code PLASMID to get yourself 10% off your order. While we aren't offering 10% off our orders if you use the promo code PLASMIDS, we do still have shit to sell. So go to destoprods.com/store and check us out. We have two new shirt designs, the Science shirt and the Heart Attack shirt, as well as coffee mugs and iPhone cases. We're also all women's shirts are $3 off because they are in limited supply. Just get them while they last. That's destoprods.com/store.
And we are still accepting like extra large shirts, ladies.
Yeah. And we are still accepting shirt design ideas. So please, if you have any you think we would like, and if you have art even better, then send that shit to bowyouwant@destoprods.com or post in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. If we like it and we make it into a shirt, then we will be paying you based on how well that shirt sells. Again, art, if you have art, you get to the top of the list, and if it's based on DestoProz references or jokes or something, it also goes to the top of the list. But if you just have a cool design you think we would like, then please don't hesitate to send it our way. But if you don't want shirts, and you just want to help it, and you just want to help save some kids, then go to destoprods.com/extralife and donate, or join the team and help us fundraise. We are trying to raise $1,000 to help Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, and every penny helps. All donations are tax deductible, and all donations go every penny donated goes directly to the hospitals, and we don't get a cent from it. In case that intrigues you,
yeah.
For some reason,
this is not for us.
Yeah, this is not for anybody except to help the kids. So yeah, please, destoprods.com/extralife, it's all one word, join the team and help us raise some money, or just donate out of the goodness of your heart. I am your host, Dead Man. Join me today, we have Bovion.
Hello.
And Punchatron.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah. So I'll go first, because I haven't read much, or anything really. Yeah, so I just want to say, first of all, congratulations to Fairy Tail for reaching 300 chapters. Because they did that recently.
Congratulations, Fairy Tail.
Yay. I was seriously expecting one of you to stop me, but...
Why did we stop you? That's the longest that's the longest consistent sentence you've ever said. But yeah, I just want to say chapter 299, I believe, was a silent chapter. And again, I really like silent chapters. I love silent issues in comics, and I really like silent chapters, and I thought that one was well done. Anyway, also read some more Sanka Rhea. We got another revelation about Rhea as a zombie. It turns out she's a living zombie, if that makes sense. So she's living undead.
Living undead. How exactly does this work?
Because she drank the zombie potion when she was alive, so that lets her retain her, brain functions and not just go kill crazy, I guess. It's bizarre. The science behind the zombie science in this world is fucking insane. For starters, you can actually make zombies. You're just from, everyday herbs and spices. This kid... The kid who made this shit, he didn't go to any specialty store. He got all the stuff he needs to make the zombie potion out of his own backyard.
Well, yeah, he was going by a recipe in an old occult notebook, though.
Oh, I know. But it was an old occult notebook that his grandpa did.
Uh-huh. And his grandpa was...
His grandpa's a midget.
Zombie maker.
His grandpa's an Oompa Loompa.
So? That doesn't affect his zombie-making ability.
It should. Like, zombies aren't candy. Despite what people will lead you to believe, zombies are not candy.
I have been sold a bill of goods.
But anyway, you had some people at this zombie research facility. They did some science on her. And by that, they got her to get naked in a glass room. Because, you know, science.
For science.
Yeah.
If you have a glass room and you tell me to get naked in it, I'm going to assume science is happening.
It could be science or it could be weird snuff films.
Well, glass rooms cost a lot, so...
Yeah, and there's a lot of money in snuff films.
At least I know it would be a good snuff film.
Well, but anyway, so they did some science on her, and they determined that she was able to come back from the, like, confused state, which is, like, just a step up from full-on just brain zombie state, because she's actually a living zombie. Like, her brain was still functioning when she drank the potion, so I guess that, like, kept her brain activity consistent, like, even after she died. Because with most zombies, like, bringing them back, the brain activity is completely gone, and then you just give them the zombie formula, and they just jumpstarts it. So that it, like, starts deteriorating, I guess. But with her, since there was still brain activity, the drug just, like, kept it going. It didn't jumpstart it. It, like, just like, kept it on a consistent path. So she's able to retain her humanity, I guess. Or something. I could just be bullshitting this. All I remember is she's a living zombie, only it was spoken in English. Because this organization speaks in the language of science.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's kind of cool, I guess. Like, it's a bit weird that the leader of this organization is a cross-dresser. Well, kind of a cross-dresser. It's a guy, but he always has his hair in a ponytail, wears, like, ladies' glasses and lipstick.
What's wrong with wanting to look a little bit pretty for the zombies?
Nothing, I guess, you know. But do you really need, like, the high heels, too?
Well, that's just useful. I mean, you can't run well from a zombie with it, but if you take it off, it's got a good point and end to be a weapon.
Yeah, but this guy loves zombies. Like, he doesn't want to hurt zombies. He wants to do stuff to them.
Worst case scenario, zombie's gonna kill you. You don't necessarily want it to eat your brains.
He could probably just rape it to death. Why do you need shoes? He already has a pointed weapon.
Well, that's what the high heels are for, then. So that he can sex appeal the zombies to death.
But yeah, Sonic Array is still pretty cool. But, moving on to something that I haven't talked about before. Saint Young Men! Good lord, it is awesome! Like, I wasn't sure what I was going to get going into this. Like, I know, Pudge, you've talked about it before, but I was just like... It is very laid back in its humor. Like, Jesus and Buddha, they're just dudes. Like, I expected it to be, like, actual, like, Jesus, like, going around, like, actually, he's my son, and, like, turning, like, having, like, one fish feed thousands of, like, turning water into wine and shit for, like, parties. And I expected Buddha to be just, like, so... Just, like, floating down the street in pure enlightenment. But no, it's just, hey, yeah, we're a couple dudes.
Yeah. All right, so next anime podcast, look forward to me talking about this.
Yeah, it's so great, and just I think I'm only three chapters in, but is like the dot on Buddha's forehead, everyone pushing that dot, is that like actually a running gag, or was it just in the first chapter?
I can't quite remember. I haven't read a chapter in a while, I'll admit. But I don't think it really becomes much of a gag. I think that may have been just the first chapter.
Yeah, like that's another thing. Like, they always just get, like, one-off jokes per chapter. Like I said, I think I've read three chapters, and, like, in the second chapter, we saw, like, Buddha in the train car. And he was just, like, he supposedly had found Nirvana on Earth in the commuter train.
Yeah.
It's so great to see him, like, waving back and forth. It's like, oh, they're all embracing me. They're all fucking drunk and smell of alcohol, but they're so happy.
Yeah, it's one of the best parts of that manga is that it's just, you could probably just swap out Jesus and Buddha for two normal people.
Yeah.
So to speak, and it would probably, you'd probably get the same experience out of it.
I mean, like,
you need to change the miracle gags a bit, but
yeah, like on Jesus, he just wants to learn about Japanese culture.
Yeah,
like he goes in and buys like a samurai outfit set that came with a sword. and Buddha's like, how much did that cost you? I was like, 20,000 yen. And how much is rent? And you see, like, the glowing, you see, like, glowing from his forehead, like, getting enlightenment, but he's getting really pissed off. It's like, the more pissed off he was getting, the more enlightened he was.
Yeah, that happens. When Buddha gets angry, he starts glowing.
Yeah, oh man, it's... And one of my favorite parts was... So it's, like, the end of the second chapter, Jesus is, like, sitting at home, pretending he's a samurai... And then, like, Buddha was, like, he got caught on the commuter train until the very end of the track, and so he got to, like, the final stop, and he had to spend the night at a manga cafe or something, like a manga library, and he read the entirety of, like, that, of, I think it's Tezuka Ozamu's, Buddha, which is a gritty retelling of Buddha's life. So it was Buddha reading a gritty interpretation of his own life, and loving it.
Oh, that's not how that happened at all, but it's awesome.
Yeah, like he even saw him, he was, like, reading, I think it was on, like, volume 12 or something, and he was, like, crying and, like, oh my god, this man's a genius. And then you see Jesus try to read, he's like, oh yeah, this is pretty good, but he's, like, reading it, it's upside down, he's, like, laughing at parts that shouldn't be laughed at, and he starts on the second volume. And Buddha's, like, freaking out, he's like, oh, you're not reading it right, you're supposed to laugh at that, you're on the second volume, start on the first, damn it. God, yeah, it's just, it's easily, like, just, you can easily swap out, like, yeah, Pudge, what you said is right. The best thing about this series is the fact that you could swap it out for just two other dudes, and it would still totally work.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that it's Jesus and Buddha adds that extra level to it.
Yeah, I think the exact premise for it was were they on vacation?
Yeah, like,
stranded there?
No, it wasn't they got stranded there. It was like, so like, they were working until like the break of the new millennia, and they're just like, you know what, we need a break. So they just come down to Earth and get an apartment together.
Oh, okay.
And so they're just hanging out, you know, on vacation, essentially.
Yeah.
Oh man, but yeah, it's, and the racist racist tourists that show up. Like they go, like, so the guys, they go to a Buddhist temple, and some tourists come up. It's like, oh hey man, picture. And so like Buddha does like his Buddha pose, and like no, do this, and they get him into like a ninja pose. And it's like, oh man, they just lumped everything Asian together. And oh man, the series is fucking hilarious. But the one thing it kind of makes me want to read is the series that has Super Saiyan Hitler.
What?
Mm-hmm.
There's a manga series that has Super Saiyan Hitler.
God, this sounds like the most incredible thing ever created.
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah, like, I saw, like, some of it on Cracked, and it was, like, it was, like, just, what if, like, all the world, like, conflicts and shit happened in an Akira Toriyama-style anime. It was just, like, you have, like, the main people involved, but instead of, like, having armies, they'll just have, like, energy beams that they fire out of their ass or something. And, like, you just see Super Saiyan Hitler, he just shows that he has, like, the mustache, but then his hair is, like, Super Saiyan. But his mustache is still black. It looks fucking awesome, and I keep forgetting the name of it, but I'm going to be reading it eventually. Yeah, I just picture that. Super Saiyan Hitler.
No more needs to be said. Super Saiyan Hitler.
God, I... Yes. Just yes. Just yes. So yeah, both of you won. The deep end reading we're watching.
Alright, I'm going to start off with... I did Pudge's suggestion. I haven't had a ton of time to myself. But I did watch the last two episodes of Katanagatari.
Okay,
I very much enjoyed these episodes. The absolute ending is a bit weird in my mind.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what happens there. It's like, everybody's dead. No hard feelings.
Pretty much. It's ridiculous. So, Pudge already talked about all that stuff, so I'm going to talk about the very ending. So, Pudge, you didn't really explain why all this happened.
Okay, so should we throw up a spoiler alert here?
Huge spoiler alert. You know, more spoilers than Pudge got into last time.
Mm.
So, Princess Hitai, the one who has Togame killed and basically fucks everyone's shit up. What was the name of the sword creator again? I can't remember his name.
Fuck, neither can I.
Pudge?
Shikazaki, yes.
Shikazaki. Well, all of this is according to Shikazaki's plan. So she basically did all of this to put into motion Shikazaki's plan of defeating the shogunate and stopping the future. Rewriting the past, basically. So stopping our future by rewriting the past. And we find out that this is because she is a descendant of Shikazaki. So, basically, Shikazaki outlines that specifically the tower that the shogunate is in, the shogun must be on the final floor of the tower. The 12 deviant blades with wielders must be put on the first 12 floors. It's a 13-floor tower. The 13th deviant blade must then fight his way up through all 12 said floors, defeating and destroying every single one of the deviant blades, and then killing the shogun. This is of course exactly what happens.
So wait, so obviously Shikazaki, since he was like psychic or whatever, he could see the future. But could he see like different variations of the future? Like,
no.
Did he know exactly what to change to actually change the future, or did he just say, "Fuck it, let's do something"?
He just came up with a plan that he thought was very likely to create a heroic tale that would change the country. Unfortunately, he failed, and this is the big, really confusing thing. Shichika, he spares Princess Hitai, the one who had Togame killed. You know, the actual guy who did it, he murders him because he's one of the Deviant Blade wielders. Well, one of the second wave of Deviant Wave Blade wielders. No, he's the only one to wield that one, sorry. And so he leaves Princess Hitai alive, and this was all her plan. Everything that happened, Togame's death, the entire everything was her fault. And then it, you know, starts to cut away, and then it cuts back to show that he's traveling with her.
Well,
what?
That's a bit of an odd situation there. The impression I got is that she was sort of following him around.
Yeah,
and
she's...
he sort of just went... Because there's that whole conversation. It's like, why... I don't recall telling you you could follow me.
Yeah, so,
I recall you telling me not to.
He's traveling Japan, just like in Togame, you know, had planned. And Princess Hitai is, following him around. And then she mentions, so I guess that plan didn't work after all. Everything just went back to the way it would have been, you know. A successor came and nothing really happened. So basically, they're sitting there very calmly discussing, yeah, I killed the woman you loved. And, it was all for nothing. Sorry about that. And then they tentative arrangement where she pays for everything and he doesn't let her die.
Oh, good lord.
And then the narrator makes this comment that I laughed at. It's like, nothing is known about him after this point. He may have being killed on the road a day later. And I laughed. I'm like, who's going to kill this guy?
It's like, bitch, please.
I mean,
you can't kill a sword.
Already, if you've invented handguns, which you haven't, they've proven rather ineffective.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, that...
But yeah, I think the main thrust of the plan, the thing, the event that it was trying to diverge away from was the Western, quote-unquote, invasion of Japan, I think, was the thing that they were trying to get away from.
The Westernization of Japan is definitely what they were trying to avoid, and, you know, honestly, that's probably a noble cause, except that their Westernization has led to some of the greatest technology in the world.
Yeah. Maybe Shigazaki didn't want that. He was just like, oh, fancy technology? Fuck this. It's like, fuck your iPhone. You get a Sparrow.
But I'm a soothsayer. I can invent the iPhone.
Yeah, well,
basically what those deviant blades were.
Were the iPhones?
Well, he basically saw into the future and used super advanced smithing and weapon making methods to make those swords.
It's like this sword is the sharpest blade in all of the land. It also has Wi-Fi.
That one unbreakable blade? Yeah, that's the Nokia blade.
Yeah, it's like if he had just kept making swords, it's like, no, I bring you the Blunt 6. It's slightly longer, slightly sharper, and does everything the old one did, but it can't make maps for shit. It runs on SOS 6.
But back to what I was saying about the ending. It does in some way make sense because Togame did basically say as she died that she was going to betray him. She's like, no, I totally intended to murder you when we were done. All that shit I said about actually liking you, it was kind of true, but I would have murdered you anyways.
Well, she would have tried.
Now, I've never been quite sure about
you're never sure if she's honest.
That's to, you know, make him give up on, you know, sort of to try and stop him from doing exactly what he did to keep him alive.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure. It's never really made clear.
Because the only person who knows is dead.
Yes.
I should really start finishing the series that we watch for Anime Club.
Not this week. It's not worth it. I've watched like two episodes, and that's as far as I need to go to get a feel for the series.
I've watched four episodes. I've watched four episodes, so fuck all y'all. Yeah. Oh man, we're gonna get into it, but this week's series. But no, like I still haven't finished Bakemonogatari. I still haven't finished Katanagatari.
Oh man, I not only finished Bakemonogatari, I finished Nisemonogatari.
Yeah, I know. I want to. It's just I have so much other shit that I need to procrastinate on. I just don't have the time to procrastinate on watching these shows.
I honestly know how you feel. I mean, yesterday I did my day doing nothing but running around to different places and doing paperwork. That was my day. Well, then I went to a concert. But anyways, back to the point. I'm going to move on to my next thing.
Okay.
My only other thing, I decided to read a couple chapters of manga, so I went back to Cradle of Monsters.
Ah, yes.
I still really like the series. I fucking love Takigawa. That guy's a fucking boss.
Yeah, it's been so long since I've read that.
He's like the paranoid, prepared nut job of the group. Who, as we found out later, was kind of raised on a circus. And there's this other guy in the group, and he kind of tries to be the macho leader. He's like, oh, I always have to make the hard decisions. And we're going to make the hard decision to leave so-and-so behind or not help this person. And to an extent, it seems like he's trying to do it to impress Takigawa because Takigawa is like all paranoid all the time. And so he doesn't trust anybody and tries to do what's best for the group. But then Takigawa will turn around and be like, what the fuck are you talking about? We're helping this person. Hell is wrong with you.
Fuck's the matter with you, son?
Like, just recently, I forget the name of the character, but they found one of their classmates who's in a wheelchair.
Oh, yeah, and I remember this.
While everyone else is fucking bickering about whether they're going to help him along or leave him, Takagawa was like, can you get yourself back into the chair? And then...
Yes, I remember this part.
They're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, he's like, well, I'm talking about him coming along, but pulling his own weight. The guy's like, I'm back in the chair. It's like, okay, you're going to pull your own weight. You're going to come with us. Let's go. He doesn't take a vote. He doesn't listen to anyone else's opinion. He says it, like, and it's done.
It's like, fuck you guys. You're going to lead? Fuck no. Bitch, you get out of my way. Talking gala, motherfucker.
Pretty much. That any situation like that, that's the guy I want to be.
But that's the guy you'll know you'll never be. It's like...
You'd be surprised.
What, really? Like, everyone starts murdering each other, you think you're really going to be like, I'm a boss now.
No, I might not be as calm and collected as him, but I do not terribly... I do fairly well in leadership roles and fairly well under stress. Like I said, I would not be nearly on the scale of Takagawa, but I would probably... I'd be one of the people to be a better leader. Maybe not the person, but...
I'd shit my pants, grab some food, and hide in the closet until it was all over.
Good for you.
Yeah, fuck, I'm not going to lead. I'm not going to... I can't lead.
Again,
I'm barely leading this.
It always sucks in those situations if you're the leader without having everyone fear you. This is my theory, because basically you just get blamed for everything. This is what The Walking Dead has taught us.
Counterpoint to that is Cage of Eden, where the leader isn't feared and everyone's like, oh man, he's awesome. Except for one guy who tried to kill him, but that's because he wanted to have sex with a girl that he liked.
So anyways, yeah, that's actually it for me this week.
Okay, Punchatron.
All right, I have a bunch of new ones that just started, because that's kind of what I've been reading recently.
All right, new series.
Yeah, new stuff. Alright, so, let's start with the long Japanese name, just to get that out of the way. Kanojo ga flag o Oratera.
Okay.
I'm so, totally going to Google that right now, because I know how to spell it.
Yeah, that's a name!
But basically, there's this guy, Hatase Sota, is no age. But he's, you know, fairly standard high school students, except he can see sort of relationship flags. As in, you know, like dating sim kind of things, when events are triggered, they're referred to as flags, as significant events, depending on what happens.
So he has dating sim vision?
I guess. But they're sort of... It's not just, like, he sees everything. Like, he sees there's death flags, victory, you know, victory, friendship.
Good. Heart.
Sister, sibling love kind of earth, flags and stuff.
Earth, wind, fire, water, heart.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
The whole shebang. He just sees them when they pop up. And thus far in his life, he's been using that ability to avert events, really. And I don't think they really go into it all that much, but he's been also using that to close himself off from others.
Okay.
It's been fairly short, so, I mean, one chapter. But, so he's kind of been shutting himself off by breaking the flags that pop up, basically. He sees the flag and he automatically knows what to do to avert that event from happening. So, in between saving people whose death flags pop up, he's been sort of ruining his friendships with... Well, not ruining, not preventing friendships from starting with people and stuff, just... Maybe it's a habit of his. He just knows how to do it, and he just has to do it.
Yeah. Or maybe it's like, since he can see like everything, he figures like friendship will just be. He'll just always end in like horribleness because he always knows everything's going to happen to them. I guess, kind of, what you're describing it.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But basically, there's this one girl in his class that he just transferred into that he doesn't see any flags on. Ever. For some reason. And okay. So they sort of, the relationship and their friendship sort of blossoms from there, and it's listed on my manga site as a romance novel, so I would assume as a romance manga. I don't know why I said novel, but I would assume that he, and towards the end of the chapter, she sort of goes, stop breaking flags like that. Stupid.
She can see the flags?
No, he tells her about it.
Oh, okay.
And she, well, hops on the bandwagon fairly quickly, actually. Weirdly quickly.
It's almost as if she might know something, which would kind of make sense with the fact that she has no flags. It would kind of make sense that she might know something about them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's certainly something to look out for in the future. It's the one chapter in so far from my sources. Anyway, there may be more released somewhere else, but it's good so far. It certainly seems interesting.
Okay.
So, check it out.
Catch it.
Yeah.
It's that one with the really long Japanese name.
Yeah. Kanojo ga flag o oratera.
You write in the comments or something.
I will.
Okay,
moving comments.
On.
We have those.
Yeah, and forums.
Ta-da.
Forums are good.
Yeah. Talk to the only guy posted on our forums, Big Man CJS. He's feeling lonely.
Yeah, maybe him and Diz can get together.
Yeah, like Diz never uses the forums, but Big Man never uses the comments.
Oh, well.
I'm pretty sure I got a spammer on one of my comments a while ago.
Oh yeah, you
off
did.
Topic, but yeah,
that happens.
Yeah, some of them get through.
But anyway.
Yeah. So moving on.
Back on topic. Into a more easily pronounceable name, Dragon Collection.
I don't know, man. That's pretty difficult. Like,
whoa.
Dragon Collection.
Man, I don't know how it'd spell that.
Dragon Collection.
That's racist.
Everything's racist. Why do you think Kuririn was translated to Krillin?
But anyway, they. Let's start this off by asking if either of you are familiar with Mirai Nikki.
Mirai Nikki.
It's that strangely sounds familiar, but I don't.
Yeah, I know.
It's sort of kid plays has a phone diary, and then suddenly his imaginary friend God turns out to be actually God.
What? Who's imaginary friends with God?
And then it turns out that there's, I think it's 12 other people who are chosen, and it's basically a contest to choose the new God because this God's dying.
Oh, okay.
But it gets very dark and crazy, but it revolves around sort of phone. Each person's phone has a different ability and whatnot. But that's not the point. If you had been familiar with it, and for those listening who are familiar with Mirai Nikki, this sort of is framed as a lighthearted version of that. Basically, Arata is normal high school student, as they always are, and he has this. You know, he He starts playing this phone game called Dragon Collection. Name drop. Mm. And basically, there's, as it turns out, it sort of is real for certain people. For certain people, there's sort of reality gets the two realities, real and the game, sort of get blended together for some reason. And okay. So he sort of gets caught up in a sort of fantasy game happening in the real world that nobody else can see except the other people doing it.
Okay, so then, is this, so the Dragon Collection, like, does each person have, like, their own deck of dragons, they just, like, summon them to fight or something?
I would assume it's sort of like a fantasy RPG. They haven't really gotten into it all that heavily into the rules yet, but, you know, he's fairly, I would assume he's fairly low level, since he doesn't seem to have any apparent abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And they're within, I think, the second chapter, is classroom gets attacked by a guy on a golem with like a giant school-sized golem, and nobody else can see the golem. They just figured the classroom exploded for some reason. 'Cause
that makes sense. Yeah. In my experience, classrooms explode all the time.
Well, what makes more sense, a classroom exploding or an invisible golem punched it?
Well, yeah, the classroom literally did explode. It's just, it wasn't for the reason everybody thought it was.
It's like a gas main exploded, but there aren't any gas mains in that classroom. Shut up.
Yeah, I would believe the giant golem punching the classroom myself.
Yeah, but we're weird.
But yeah, it's we're very readily believing things that seem excessively weird. But yeah, it seems interesting. I'd like to, it could go in many directions, but it could get very dark, like Mirai Nikki, but I don't think they'll go that way, because Mirai Nikki already did that.
Yeah. It's like, just from the name of it, it sounded kind of like Chaos Rune. I'm pretty sure that's what the series is called. But yeah, it's like this, it's a thing where, like, these people get selected, and they're given cards, and they use the cards to summon dragons to fight each other.
Hmm.
But it's weird, because, like, any damage done to the dragon, like, homologous damage is done to you, so, like, if your dragon gets his arm blown off, your arm gets blown off.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a weird series, but I liked it. But it gets bizarre, because, so it's like the Dragon Society, and like the cards, what they usually do is like a card, like a thing will come out, then like bone hands will come out of the card and like rip your face in half, and the dragon will pop out of it. But then there's like people from like the Magic Society who like cards rip open their stomachs, and then, like the people from the Women's Society who cards rip open their chests. Because, you know, boobs, women.
Of course.
Yeah. Just from the title alone, it sounded kind of like that. Of just, hey, we got dragons and we're fighting them. Because we have cards.
Yeah. I got the impression of, from the small bit of lore about the game they've gone into so far, is that the players get a sort of familiar. It's a bit like, Monster Rancher. If you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I kind of remember that show.
You know, they go around and they sort of get the sort of familiar monster thing, and they fight with that until they can get a more powerful one, and then they, and you know, the be all end all of all familiars would be a dragon,
mm-hmm.
which do exist, and so on and so forth. And there's exceedingly rare and whatnot.
Mm.
But, you know, it's going to be a little bit of a weird thing between, you know, because this is a massive phone game in the universe. in the manga's universe. So, and not everybody has the whole actual real thing that plays the game. For some people, for most people, it is just a phone game. But yeah, it'll be interesting seeing how that works out. There's also a subplot with his Hikikomori brother disappearing. Just one day getting up and leaving. For whatever reason. There's vast implications that he is extremely important to the phone game combat thing.
Yeah, like, if your brother at some point mysteriously vanishes and then you start, like, being able to see horrible monsters and fight with them, he's probably involved in some way.
Yeah. But yeah, it's another thing you should check out. It's certainly, it's definitely more shonen.
Yeah. I mean, clearly.
So.
Well, actually, I'm glad you, like, emphasized that. Like, the way you described it, I thought it was very shoujo.
I'm not going to talk to you anymore.
It's like, I thought it was kind of Jose, you know? But for the older people.
But anyway. Words.
Yeah. I read manga, can you tell?
Ha ha ha. I should probably just do a write-up of explaining all these terms I'm throwing around.
Well, you do have a Bioki column, Aimless Wanderings, available every Wednesday. Every other Wednesday, I mean.
Yeah.
So you have a platform to do that.
Yes. I could.
Yeah.
Not for another couple weeks, but yeah. I could.
Yeah, because next week, my new biweekly column, which comes out every other Wednesday, is going to be up.
I don't know. I think you could add it on. Last time I checked, your Aimless Wanderings was still pending.
I could, yeah. But that would probably take up a whole article. Just explaining the different age groups, at least. I can go into... Anyway, it'll be a side project eventually. Yeah.
It's coming. Wait for it.
It'll happen.
Eventually.
Probably, maybe, eventually.
Yeah. It'll happen! Yeah.
Pretty much.
So, moving on.
Alright, and let's get into my last one, which is also new, but called Inakami. It's sort of like, well, it's I-N-A, Kami.
Yeah.
As in
God. We all know how to spell Kami.
Yes.
It's spelled R-U-S-S-I-A-N. Russian. Kami.
Oh.
I did the funny.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so, Inakami.
All right. Okushiro Nagi lives in Tokyo with his father. Yes, he lives in Tokyo with his father. And his younger sister, they were separated at her birth because his mother... I forget the exact story of why they did this, but the point is, she stayed in the mountains, or she went to the mountains, to her mother's home, I think. So her maternal grandmother, who she's living with. And he stayed with his father because the mother died with her birth.
Mm-hmm.
At her birth. It's, you know, there's probably some cultural reason I don't understand about the differences in family and whatnot.
Yeah.
That happens in Japan. That doesn't necessarily happen here. Here being Canada for our international audience.
Yes. We are Canadian, eh? Can't you tell, you hosers?
But... Basically, he leaves Tokyo.
Don't you mean boot?
No, it's a boot instead of a bout.
Hey, these people don't know. They're racist.
Anywho, Nagi leaves Tokyo to go see his sister, who he literally hasn't seen in, like, since, like, maybe a couple hours after her birth. So, 12 years.
Okay.
And she lives, well, in the mountains, which he's been living in Tokyo all his life, so he's a little out of sorts in the mountains. So, basically, on his way there, he sees, well, it's drawn as sort of like that dark cloud with glowing eyes.
Yeah.
It later turns out to be a demon, but that's just how they personify demons in this universe.
Yeah.
And he sees it, and he, the monster, and the thing, the demon says, eye to eye, and starts chasing. He runs naturally and falls into sort of a pond in a crevasse sort of thing. It's sort of like a crater filled with water, I guess, with really steep sides. He can't. The point is, he can't swim and he can't exactly climb out. And a woman with cat ears shows up and saves him.
It's his
And
sister.
then. No, that's not. Stop getting ahead of me. That's not it at all, actually. But she also says eye to eye. And.
Change up the formula.
And then she basically chases off the monster thing. And she follows him to his grandmother's house, where they sort of separate in very separate ways. And then he meets his sister, who's, for all intents, well, currently, at the very least, a normal young girl, a normal 12-year-old girl. And then he starts his sort of school life. And really, that's the basic setup to the show, to the manga. But
Demons and cat ears.
yeah, it's sort of getting to the bottom of it. He can see, turns out he can see spirits and stuff, and there's this actual black cat who, well, naturally transforms into a busty woman.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, come on, you ever read manga before? Come on.
Yeah, and that apparently knows him from the past. It's sort of exploring a person's. It's about exploring a person's past that they may have that, but he's forgotten, pretty much. He blocked out most of his memories from that time because, you know, his mom died
Yeah.
most of the time he was up there last.
Yeah.
So, but it's very good. It's sort of. The girl with cat ears turns out is sort of disguised as a girl in his class. I'm not sh they never. Well, I suppose they do expressly say it. That yes, they're the same person, just she's in her human form in the class. But. And she's sort of. It's sort of a. Okay, we're done now. You can go. Leave me alone forever. Bye. When they first part, and then he goes to class, goes to school, and like, okay, you sit back there beside so and so, and he sits down, and he kind of, she does the standard sort of, oh, please take care of me and whatnot,
Yeah.
greeting kind of thing, and then he sort of looks over and like, you too. Then he sort of does a double take and is like, what?
What?
What the hell are you doing here?
The old, I'm done talking to you forever. Now I'm going to be in your class trick. Classic.
Yeah. All those Japanese kids.
Wacky.
Then cut to freeze frame with 80s theme and roll credits.
Yeah. For some reason, when you said 80s theme, the MASH theme immediately jumped to mind. I don't know why.
Well, high school is very much a war zone.
I guess.
You are very likely to die there.
Especially if you're in a Japanese high school.
Oh, God, yes. Like,
This is just proven fact.
yeah, this is. I'm still working on my thesis. I'm getting help from professors. I actually do want to do this. I want to, like, contact one of my old anthropology professors and say, all right, I want to write a thesis about Japanese kids being fucking crazy. Can you help?
Okay.
And they'll be like, yeah, and they'll be like, get the fuck out of my office.
Okay, I just needed to reread the first couple pages of the first chapter to his sister's body was particularly weak. So they couldn't travel with her.
So they traveled.
They were at her mom's old house in the mountains.
Oh, okay, yeah. Like, I figured they give birth in, like, a hospital or something. So I was like, hey, this baby's very fragile. You can't travel with her. Now travel with her to the mountains.
No, it was in a hospital. It was just in the hospital in the small town.
Okay.
In the mountains. But, so they left her at the maternal grandmother's house.
Okay.
For 12 years. But, yeah, it's certainly something. There may be, I don't know, it's listed as a harem manga, which harems can be many sizes, I guess.
Yeah.
But currently there are only two, maybe three people who would be attracted to that may be part of the harem.
And if it's more than one, cats, it's a harem.
Yeah, the two of them are the cat and the fox girl, I guess.
Okay, but, yeah, like, it's, so you said it's only one chapter in now?
It's two now. It's
two chapters in? Okay, so yeah, there's still plenty of time, and, like, he's in a high school, there are girls there.
Yeah.
There's still plenty of time for him to get a bushel of bitches.
Yeah. But
isn't that what every man wants when he's in high school?
Every high school student wants a bushel of bitches.
Yeah, because that's what it's called. But, you know, if it keeps up its release schedule the same as it is, as it was the first two chapters, there should be another one released soon. So, but then again, scanlators are often extremely lazy and inconsistent.
Yeah. So check it out when you can.
I mean, I don't use scanlators. That's illegal.
Yeah, we totally know how to speak Japanese and get legal copies of the magazines from Japanese publishers.
Yep.
Yeah, totally.
Ninja Kitty's working on it, actually.
I never read manga. I never read manga that has been scanlated by the A-Team. I mean, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Simple scans is the devil. Burn
fan subs. Who would ever watch those dirty heathenistic fan subs?
Yeah, we totally and completely always buy the $150 Blu-ray sets of all series that we do for Anime Club.
Oh,
even if
that.
We only watch a couple episodes, we buy the whole set.
Yeah, yeah. From completely legal purchasinganime.com. I seriously want to make a completely legal downloadlink.com t-shirt.
Well, then we can do that.
Yeah. So, Pudge, you said that was it for you?
Yeah. Well, it's good. Check it out. There should be a third chapter coming out soon. They seem to be a weekly release, so that's good.
Okay.
It's nice seeing a weekly series.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
Yeah. So, it is time for Anime Club!
Or news.
Oh, yeah, news! Fuck, I forgot about... I went through the time to get the news and then forgot the... Sorry, I'm tired and I have to pee.
He wants this to be over already.
No, I forget things, okay? I have the memory of someone with a bad memory.
Well, yeah, I do too, honestly. I'm not that much of a procrastinator, but today, like, at one point I'm just like, huh, I should probably watch some anime.
Nah, fuck it. I was like, I'd probably watch an anime. Ooh, look, something else. But so, moving on. Saban Brand, in news, has confirmed that it has acquired the Digimon franchise outside of Japan. So Saban is going to be airing the newest season of Digimon Fusion, Actually, it is debuting the newest season of Digimon Fusion, to potential broadcasters and distributors at the MIPCOM event in Cannes, France, that goes from October 8th to October 11th. And so, the last two series that have been released, I guess, in Japan have been Digimon Xrox, Xross Wars, and Digimon Xross Wars Tokyo Kakadu Shonen Hunter Tachi.
Sorry, I just, for some reason, I immediately jumped to Xerox Wars.
Yeah.
That would be so much better.
Yeah. It's like, take this photocopymon, go! Take that, I sat in the photocopier. But yeah, so those are the last two series to be aired in Japan. They haven't been released in North America, but they are available on Crunchyroll if you're interested. And the last series, and Saban was actually the company that brought over Digimon, like the first season of Digimon Adventure, to America. So they're going to be going back into it and bringing over Digimon Fusion, which seems to be keeping up the pattern of Digimon turning the Digivices into cell phones, I guess.
Well, yeah, that was inevitable.
Yeah, like the first Digivices were just like, they looked like Tamagotchis.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and then like
they were.
Yeah, and they were like
yeses.
No, wasn't it like, didn't they kind of look like mobile debit machines?
No, that's when they brought the cards in, which was third generation, I think.
Okay, but yeah, wasn't the first two generations Digimon Adventure and then Digimon Adventure 2 with the same characters?
No, that's considered the first. That's the first generation. The first Digidestined is the first generation. The next one is when TK's in high school. TK and Kari are in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the other group then. That's when they started introducing the eggs.
God, it is,
the armor Digivolves.
It has been so long since I watched Digimon.
So is it for me. I just kind of sticks out in my mind from my childhood.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure for me, Digimon was like, I remember watching like the original Digimon series. I don't remember watching much of the second one, but then I remember watching the one with the credit cards, or just like the cards, playing cards, that like the thing. And then I think I just stopped watching Digimon after that.
Yeah. I pretty much watched the first generation, then I was done.
Yeah. I watched up to the point where they were able to, like, either Digivolve or Fuse or something. I remember, like, TK and the guy in the green shirt, their, like, Digivices would glow weird colors, and then they would either Digivolve or, like, Fuse or something.
Yeah.
There were Fusion Digivolves. Those definitely did happen at some point.
Yeah, and looking at the poster thing that they have for Digimon Fusion, it looks like they actually just said, fuck it, and decided to turn the Digimon into Zords from Power Rangers.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, Digimon is just starting to become as weird and convoluted as Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm not even kidding. They have a fucking Zord. And they also have like two stars in here that actually look like they're from Gurren Lagann. They have communist glasses. And they actually look like...
Well, then they can't lose.
But Kamina did lose. He died.
No, see...
He got stabbed.
That's passing the torch kind of thing. They were never meant... They were never truly meant for Kamina.
Okay. Well, moving on to the next piece of news. Nekomonogatari Black, which is another novel in the Monogatari series from Nisi Oisin.
Yes.
Is going to be getting an anime.
Hooray!
Yeah, so Nekomonogatari Black takes place between Kizumonogatari and Bakemonogatari. And it follows Arunagi and his efforts to solve supernatural problems facing Tsubasa Hanakawa. And apparently these have been referenced in the currently released anime, which I have not seen that much of, so I don't really know what it's talking about.
Those events, I believe, are referenced very near the end of Bakemonogatari.
Yeah, they, especially near the end, but there are little hints throughout.
They're...
Because she's the student council president who's who's hanging out with in the very first episode. The girl with the braids. So they, and they talk frequently at school.
Which is...
Wait, the cat chick?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought they... When I was staying at Bobby One's place, he was watching that, and I saw him, and I thought they dealt with her cat thing.
They... It didn't... it comes back.
Oh, okay.
Due to the reason it's around in the first place.
Stress?
Yes, it's stress due to her affection for her Araragi, and she just doesn't want to accept it.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, at some point I need to fucking finish Bakemonogatari and Nisseimonogatari. Because they're both... If Nisseimonogatari is anything like Bakemonogatari, I'm going to fucking love it.
It is. But I'm going to say it's a little bit weirder.
Oh goody!
Yeah,
and that's not even an ironic oh goody. It's fucking oh goody.
Including the area designs in both the series are very strange, but like when you start to see the inside of houses and stuff in Nisseimonogatari, it gets a lot weirder than it is in Bakemonogatari.
I would kill for that bathroom though.
Especially, yeah, everything inside of Araragi's house is fucking insane.
Okay.
But yeah, it gets a little weirder because it focuses on his sisters, or the two people he's helping out.
Okay.
In Nisseimonogatari. So it... there's not so subtle incest vibes.
Yeah, erotic toothbrushing.
Yeah. Being probably the biggest one.
Yeah. That's the one. I think we actually had an episode and they titled that.
Probably, yes.
That's because I was talking about Nisseimonogatari.
Yeah.
But there's also a really epic fight scene with his one sister. Makes the whole series, like, more amazing.
Yep. So, moving on to the next piece of news. Hirobaki Samura's Blade of the Immortal manga has had its end date announced. Yeah, so the series, which is a historical manga about samurais and shit, is going to be ending in the February 2013 issue of Kodansha's monthly afternoon magazine. The series has been in circulation since December 1993 and has had 29 volumes of the manga released so far. It also got an anime adaptation in 2008 and Dark Horse has published some of the tankobons in America. But yeah, so this series has been going for nearly two decades, and now it's coming to an end. Have you guys ever read this series?
I haven't read it, but I did see the first episode of the anime adaptation.
What'd you think of it?
It was good. I don't know why I never actually got into it, probably because I had other stuff going at the time. I wasn't doing this, and then I just stopped thinking about it for a while. And I saw the post today, I'm like, I really should have kept with that series.
Well, hey, since it's coming to an end, you'll be able to catch up and not miss much. Since you know it's over now. Whatever. Moving on. Saint Young Men is getting an anime film. So the 44th issue of Kodansha's Morning Magazine will be announcing that this thing is going to be getting an anime film adaptation. And it's I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting to
see
hopefully what happens. Hopefully there is a theater in my city that will sometimes show anime movies when they're released. Hopefully we'll get that one.
Yeah, but I just hope they actually just play it as, like, low-key as the manga seems to do. Like, Like, I hope it's not just, like, really insane, like, anime shit, and it's just like, hey, yeah, this is Jesus and the Buddha, they're just dudes.
Yeah, I will say, though, my hopes aren't too high for that. Like, the films, the anime films we tend to get were, like, recently The Secret World of Arrietty and Sacred Star of Milos. So, both of those are pretty, like, popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe if you get, like, enough signatures on a piece of paper or something, you can just say, hey, bring this fucking film.
If they're convinced there's an audience, they might do it.
Okay. Yeah, so, final piece of news. Shun Matsuena, who is the creator of Kenichi, the Mightiest Disciple, has announced that the series is going to be getting its third OVA. Yep.
Woo!
Yeah. I have never read the series.
You should. It's. Yeah. I mean it when I mentioned it at the end of the article. It's like Gurren Lagann, except martial arts instead of giant robots.
Yeah, and when I was looking around for images, I also saw tits.
Well, yeah, that happens too.
And a mouse with a halberd.
Yeah, that's the... I forget her name. It's one of his teachers.
Okay, well...
his teacher's a mouse with a halberd?
Not the mouse. It belongs to one of his teachers.
Okay.
Just... probably where you saw the tits.
I was gonna say, like, if the mouse is teaching him, why haven't I been reading this all along? Like, I've seen it everywhere. And I just was like, oh, yeah, it's fucking sports, maybe? I don't know.
No, it's not. It's I suppose it could. It sort of starts out as a sports thing.
Make it yes. Super manly.
And then it just takes it to its completely. I don't want to say logical extreme.
Illogical extreme.
Because it's completely and totally ridiculous what happens.
It takes it to its extreme.
Yes, to the complete extreme. It's just. The ridiculousness just grows exponentially.
Okay, I'll definitely be checking that out. So.
But yeah, basically, just one of his teachers basically is a karate master, and he's essentially bulletproof. Like, on multiple occasions, you see him taking on, like, platoons of armed men, like military soldiers, on his own, just with fighting.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely be checking this series out. So, now it is time for Anime Club.
Yes.
No, yeah, news out of the way. So, Buffy One, this was your pick this week, I believe.
Yes, and I picked AKB-0048 because I was sick of us watching series that we liked.
Yes, so, actually, for this week, we will not be doing an Anime Club supplement, mainly for two reasons. One, just, like, I can't get a version to work on my computer to actually, like, watch it with these guys. And two, we don't wanna.
No, you don't say we don't want to. It's we want to spare you the horror.
Okay, three reasons. Yeah, I could get a version to work. We don't want to, and we don't want to inflict this on you guys. So yeah, Bobby, for the people at home, explain what this show is.
All right, AKB-0048. Basically, it takes place in a horrible, horrible, but beautiful future where entertainment has been outlawed on most planets. This is an interplanetary show. So, basically, there's a pop group called AKB-0048. They are generational, so they recruit new members and train them under themselves, and they grow up to be the next pop band that has a spaceship that travels around to planets where entertainment is outlawed, and they put on crazy J-pop concerts that include mech fighting, because they not only have to put on a concert, they have to fight off the DES, who are there to militaristically put them down.
Yeah. Like, they have missiles that actually have no idols printed on them.
Yes, anti-idol missiles. This is an invention that needs to be created.
Yes. Take out the real AKB-48.
Yes, it is based on a real band, by the way, and
But
all
yeah,
the
I will.
people.
Yeah, but I will say, like, the music in it isn't bad.
It's not terrible. It's. I don't really like it, and I like a lot of girly J-pop.
Yeah,
Well, I don't
like
like a
some of those.
lot of girly J-pop, but I'm open to girly J-pop, but I don't like that series. I don't like the music in this series so much.
Yeah, like the thing with the music is it works well when it's kind of being drowned out by people yelling and robot explosions.
Yeah, it does work well during the fighting scenes for sure.
Yeah, but what doesn't work well is the bullshit animation during all of that. So, the series, most of it is like hand-drawn standard anime style, but then any of the big fancy musical numbers and the robot fights, they're all computer generated.
Yeah, and is that is by far the most annoying part of the series
It
is.
is hardly noticeable.
Yeah, when it suddenly goes into computer generated, it's totally bad. I just realized that I didn't even explain the main plot point.
Girls go join group.
Yeah, four girls who we see seeing the concert. One of them we learn in episode 2 is from a different planet. They didn't explain that, so I spent like the entire first episode thinking that this character died off of some childhood disease.
Yeah, I know. Like, it was just okay. Where's the blue-haired chick who has the weird floating musical drop sperm thing?
Yeah, I thought she died. I thought that thing gave her cancer and she died.
Yeah, I was like, wait, did she? Is she just like? Are they just not like not friends anymore? Did she become like a bitch or something? Is she already a member of the group? I don't fucking know.
Yeah, so they find out that AKB-0048 is recruiting the next generation, so they go to join. And that's the premise of the show.
Yeah. And oh God, the show. I did not like it.
I'm sure you didn't, and I know you actually watch more of it than me. I will make up for it. I'm actually going to force myself to watch. Basically, because I made you guys watch this, I will not feel at peace with myself unless I watch the entire series.
Okay, so that's gonna happen. But oh man, so yeah, just there are so many things that I don't like about this. For one, let's start with the voice acting. So, in most shows, there's like a mix of girl cast members and guy cast members. The girl cast members usually have the really high-pitched voice that I find kind of annoying, but it's balanced out by the guys having relatively decent voice acting. In this, all women. So it's
Yeah,
all of
the
the.
only men are the DES and the asshole father.
And the boyfriend.
There's a. Oh,
So what you're
your
saying,
friend, that'd
dead
be.
man, what you're saying, dead man, is you don't like women.
No. What I'm saying is, I don't like really high-pitched, annoying going, "Wah!"
Yeah,
in
especially
stereo.
when it's all a bunch of young girls who want to join a pop band, and they all have that whole high-pitched annoyingness to them, except for the one who's cool and calculated. By the way, I want to do a brief episode-by-episode synopsis after this.
Okay.
We'll get into that, though.
Okay, but yeah, it's oh God, it's. But the one character is just is the girl with the ponytail who has like no self-confidence in herself whatsoever. I can't remember her name because I don't give a fuck. But I find her the most annoying because she never shuts the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like I don't mind whiny characters like the guy from Bakano, who was like really scared of everything. His name I cannot remember, and eating me up. Like what?
Jacuzzi.
Jacuzzi, yeah, Jacuzzi. Him, I liked.
Especially because, like, when it's explained why he's like that, and then you see how fucking serious he be can become, it's amazing.
Yeah, but all her shtick is, oh my God, I have nothing of confidence. I'm gonna go and cry and yell and shit. And it's, oh God, my ears were bleeding.
By the way, who actually, like, stands up and shouts, "I have no self-confidence" like that? Really?
Nobody. Yeah, and like there's this bit, so like this, like they're on a, so like they're on like a liner going to another planet to go do the additions, and they are under siege, and so they're hiding. It's like the DES says, "Hey, those are the girls we're after. Get them." They go hide. It's like, "Oh my God, I have no self-confidence," and then runs into the line of fire.
I know, I found that scene so hilarious.
Yeah, and like the group that they're joined, like the AK, like 0048, they are some of the most poorly run military operations I've ever seen. So there's a bit where the girls, they're like, have just started their training. They've gone through about 2 weeks of training. And very poor training, I might add. It did not, like, showing them any moves, just like, hey, here's some robots, fight them. No explanations whatsoever, just, yeah, robots, go. And so they're given fully loaded fucking AK-47s and thrown into a war zone to fight fucking mechs. With 2 weeks of training.
Trial by fire, my friend.
That's exactly it. Like, you just... Like, it's just so fucking weird, because they just cut back to, like, this really happy pop song going on, where they're, like, lasers and lightning and shit. And then it just goes back to, like, girls dragging the lifeless bodies of their friends across the battlefield while crying horribly and gunfire going off. And it's just, what the fuck is wrong with you people? And then, oh no, wait, it turns out it was all a stage setup. None of you were actually dead. It was all paintballs. And the robots are actually our robots. And... this is all just a test to see who would crack under pressure. And then they say like a battle fought with weapons can only lead to pain and suffering. And then the next episode, they're given fucking weapons. It's like, welcome to AKB. Here's a microphone. Oh wait, it's actually a lightsaber. And it's such bullshit because they have fucking hair bow shurikens and hair bow tasers and a cattle prod and a harp stick and fucking bombs, just regular bombs. Like in the first episode, you see them, they're on their floating platforms, and then some girl chucks a bomb at some dudes. Anyways. It's like, oh no, it's like, oh, we hate weapons, now we're gonna fucking murder everybody.
Do you have any more, like, specific aspects of the show you want to complain about?
Yes, Kanata. So in the show, so in, like, the first couple episodes of what we've seen, there's a girl named Sonata, who I just find really annoying because she always refers to herself in the third person. Actually, it's very inconsistent. Like, sometimes she'll refer to herself in the third person, sometimes she refers to herself in the first person.
Oh yes, her. The one who failed the first round auditions but still showed up.
Yeah. And so she has a sister named Kanata, who is part of the 75th generation. Like, the girls in this show are the 77th generation of understudies. But then there's the 75th generation, which is known as the cursed generation, because there's only two of them left. Everyone else has either quit, left, or... Everyone else has either quit, failed, or died, I guess. And yeah, so Kanata, which is Sonata's sister, is in there, and she is a total bitch. So we learned that, like, her and Sonata's father was part of the, like, pro-entertainment coalition, I guess. And then he was killed in a DES attack. And so she decided that, oh my god, entertainment killed my father. Fuck entertainment. I'm going to join the entertainment industry to avenge him. Like, that's her thing. It's like, oh man, I never could join the singing and dancing group. I hate singing and dancing. Like, that is the thing. Like everyone's saying, it's like, oh, she has, like, she can dance and sing as well, if not better, than some of the current successors to AKB. But... every single time she talks about it, it's like, I hate singing, I hate dancing, I'm just here to avenge my father.
I don't understand.
It's like, oh man, I hate singing, I hate dancing, I just want to avenge my father. Why won't they let me into their singing and dancing group?
I think you could have saved that whole explanation if you just made that noise.
Actually, that would pretty much cover the entire show.
Like, the premise is bizarrely intriguing, and the animation, when it's like actually the hand-drawn stuff, is actually pretty good. But it's just annoying as fuck characters, stupid motivations, weird transitions into CG, and not even the biggest thing, the first episode rips off three different series. Actually, two different series, but three different things. It starts out looking like Final Fantasy VII, then goes into the weird music. That looks like it directly out of Final Fantasy X-2. Meanwhile, they're in a shit look that came out of Eureka 7. Like, seriously, look, think of the right angle. It's the fucking gecko with the near Vosh style, with the near Vosh color scheme on it.
Yeah, I've heard someone else say that, but then again, this same person, every anime I've ever heard him review, he just writes down every anime he thinks it's ripped off.
Yeah, I don't do that a lot, but this thing, it looks exactly like the Nirva. It looks exactly like the fucking Gecko.
Anyway, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to very briefly go into a quick synopsis of the first two episodes. And I mean quick. If you feel like taking over the third and fourth, go ahead. Pudge, I don't know how much you watched, but if you watch more than both of us, feel free to jump in.
I saw the hearts in the eyes, and I'm like, I'm out.
That's not a fucking thing!
I thought Pudge would have the dedication, but no.
Every single fucking person who's a part of AKB has a heart, like, they have, like, weird heart symbols in their hair and hearts in their eyes. And, like even the people, and the main characters, before they even join the group, they have hearts in their hair and hearts in their eyes. And yet, the DES is, like, the DES, when they show up, they actually have to wait for them to run away before they decide, hey, maybe they're the ones. Like, they actually go and start looking at everybody. Like, all right, are you them? Are you them? Are you them? No. And then the girls run away. It's like, oh my god, wait, they have hearts in their hair. It gotta be them. Why the fuck didn't we notice them when we first came in here? Like everything is,
So anyways, back to what I was going to do. So, starting with episode 1. Episode 1, we're introduced to AKB-0048, the entertainment band. We are shown the anti-idol missile, which is the most amazing invention ever, and please create this. Science, you have 6 months. 6 months, science.
we can
deal with this whole Justin Bieber problem real quick.
At that point, we're taking over.
And then invitation to join the band, and then unicycling onto a launching spaceship.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, but the like jump between seeing the band and getting the invitation is like 7 years or something.
Yeah,
There's a time jump.
And then there's a lot of pointless, should I go? It's like, come on, I know you're going at the end of the episode, just hurry up and do it already.
It's like, you have the heart.
It's not like they could have just had her decide and go with her friends. No. They had to have her decide when the spaceship was already about to leave, unicycle there, and then unicycle jump to the door of the spaceship, which her friends opened as it was launching, have her hold onto one of their hands, and get pulled in.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So she was unicycling down a hill while the hill was moving perpendicular to her. It's like she was moving forward, but the hill was moving sideways. At a very, very quick pace. And it looked fucking terrible. And she actually caught to the spaceship on foot. Like she's unicycling, then she fell off her unicycle, then ran to catch up to the spaceship.
A launching spaceship.
Yes. And this is a girl who is supposedly like in high school, but looks like she's fucking 11. Oh god. This fucking show.
So now, episode 2. I have a title for this episode. It's called Archetypes.
Yes.
This is where we meet all the other people who are on the same ship as them auditioning for AKB-0048, and every single one of them fits perfectly into an anime archetype. Yeah. I'm not even going to go into in depth in that. And then DES shows up, fucks up their shit, and we find out that AKB-0048 is not even just a large military organization, but it seems like they're a religious cult. That worships the lyrics of AKB-48.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
And they have an ancient one who speaks to them through the lyrics. And this is all shown to you in like a 1 minute scene, but it creeps me out.
Yeah, just at random points, it just all of a sudden cuts to a giant blue hollow with like Shinto arcs. And then some lady dressed up like a priestess who they call Sensei. Like, not just Sensei twice, just... It's like her first name is Sensei, and she's also a teacher. It's like capitalized S in the Sensei, then dash, then lowercase S in the Sensei. And then she just starts, like, explaining things to the Ancient One, who is just demonic darkness with glowing yellow eyes. And he comes back! Multiple times, and there are multiple people working for him. But yeah, so continue.
So yeah, DES comes up, fucks up their shit, then AKB-0048 comes and fucks up DES's shit, and basically we have the blue-haired girl who I thought was dead, is not dead, She gets trapped under a chandelier that probably should have killed her.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And we have, you know, the whole heart of the band teamwork revealed as the one girl decides to save her rather than leaving her there to die so that she can be in the band instead of her.
Yeah, and then the weird glowing musical note sperm showed up, like, jizzed on them or something.
And then we find out that the band members have superpowers.
Yeah. Their outfits change depending on what powers they're using.
And one of them has a robot arm with a gun in it.
What? Yeah, and, it's just...
Damn it, do you want to continue, or do we want to leave it here and say that this is a really, really shitty series?
So episode 3 starts with... So episode 3, they are all now, like, in the AKB training area. You see a bunch of girls without the hearts in their hair, so you know they're going to leave. And they're introduced to the manager, who says, "Hey, welcome. Get your shit together or get the fuck out." And then Sonata says, "Hey, I want to join." Okay. Then they go through some training where they fight robots, but are given no real leadership on them. It's just, "Hey, robots." And everyone's bitching and complaining. It's like, "Oh man, I just wanted to sing and dance and sparkle. I didn't want to fight," even though in every show, you see them fight.
Yes, because at every show, the military tries to shut them down, and they fuck up the military shit. And this is the only thing I respect about this band, and the only cool concept about the show is pop stars now have to actually have skills.
Yeah, they can handle their own shit.
Yes, yes they can.
But yeah, so... We see, yeah. So those bitches, they complain. It's like, "Oh god, it's like, oh, this is hard. I don't wanna." And so they go try to complain to the manager about trying to get their combat training cut down. Because, yeah, and they get sent into a live fire situation. It's like, "All right, so we're gonna be performing on this planet. You guys need to fight off robots. Do we have robots? No, you have guns. Deal with it." Yeah, and so. So the manager is just standing out there with binoculars just looking at us like, "All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, 7 dead." And just like checking everybody off and just like watching everything. And then, "Oh no, wait, it was actually a fake pretend situation. Like, entertainment isn't outlawed on this planet. These are actually our mechs that we stole and repainted. But we put a hologram over it so that it looked like they weren't repainted. For some reason, why don't you just not repaint them?" But whatever. And then we learned the true purpose of this exercise was to see who had the heart and teamwork to actually stand up for their friends, and don't use weapons. Weapons are bad. But episode 4, they're given weapons.
Yeah, weapons are bad. But AKB-0048 constantly uses weapons.
Yeah, like the aforementioned lightsaber microphone that you can turn off by kissing. I'm not even kidding.
Well, like I guess weapons are okay so long as they're adorable.
But it's not really adorable. It's just a microphone, but it has lasers at the end. Yeah, and so then we actually get to go to Planet 00 or whatever, like the AKB, like the AKB-0048 base of operations. And that's where we meet, Kanata and Mimori, who are the 75th generation of understudies. The cursed generation, as I've said. And this is where we get this bullshit of, "I always sang and danced for my father, and he loved it, but then he died. Now I hate singing and dancing, and I have to join the singing and dancing group that needs you need to be good at singing and dancing and like singing and dancing to join to be able to avenge his death." And she is a total bitch. And yeah, and then it ends with them pretty poorly singing in front of a river. Fuck this fucking show.
I'm beginning to think that I might regret my previous statement of I feel I should watch the rest of it.
You don't need to. I will not force you to do this.
All right, I'm out.
I will.
I'm out.
Well, Pudge, you watch it all then. You haven't watched any of it. Well, you've watched.
I watched the rest of them.
Oh god, yeah, this show is fucking terrible. But it really sucks, because, like I said, the music works well with the battles, the animation is pretty good, and it's got a really interesting concept. It's just so much shit of it just fucking pisses me off. Oh, God. It's like, if this was just Eureka 7, but with pop music, I might be a bit more inclined to like it.
I mean, it's not like it's North American pop, either. It's J-pop, no,
it's... It's J-pop,
better.
So it's fucking awesome. Good Lord. I can't.
Alright, yeah, let's leave it here.
Yeah, so, AKB0048, stay the fuck away from this show. Yeah, so speaking of shows, it is my turn to pick the next series for Anime Club. We're going to be watching Card Fight Vanguard.
Yeah.
I've seen so many ads for it, and I've never watched any of it, so I figured, fuck it, if I'm going to suffer, you guys are going to suffer too.
Which one?
I see the ads as well, but I'm like, this seems stupid.
Yeah. The Card Fight Vanguard that keeps being advertised. It's just called Card Fight Vanguard.
Okay. So, they're, you know, it's like Yu-Gi-Oh! There's like 80 of them.
Yeah, but I would, if there were 80 of them, I would have said Card Fight Vanguard, generic subtitle 87. But no, this is just Card Fight Vanguard, like, proper-ass Card Fight Vanguard.
As proper as it can get, I guess.
Yeah, as proper as, oh hey, it's Yu-Gi-Oh, but not really. You know,
Yu-Gi-Oh, but
it's like, no, it's not. It's like, hey, you remember Winged Kuribo? How about Blue Eyes White Dragon? Well, fuck you. You get this jackass in a suit of armor. Deal with it. So you're going to be watching Cardfight Vanguard next week. Next week we will be doing the Anime Club Supplement. Like, this week we just couldn't, because you just heard why. But unless Cardfight Vanguard is abrasively terrible, we're probably going to be doing an Anime Club Supplement for it. But yeah, so for the stuff we're going to be doing on the site this week, Aimless Wanderings 11 is up currently. You can go check that out. Then on Friday, we're going to be having the end of Dark Horse Month with Hellboy. Then Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern at allgames.com, we're going to be having the Anything Cast live as per usual. Please join us at allgames.com/chat. We want to talk to you guys. Like, we want to know what you think of the site, what you think of what we're doing here, and what you want to see change or be added to the site. Like, we want feedback from you guys. Please hit us up.
Please come talk to us. We're lonely.
Yeah, especially me, ladies. So yeah, then on Wednesday, we have the Comic Book Podcast as well as my new bi-weekly series of articles, Personal Issues. I'm going to be wrapping up DC Zero Month with my top three and bottom three of what came out in the latter half of the month. Then on Friday, we're going to be having the Movies Podcast as well as the first commentary track of October. I'm going to be announcing the actual theme of that month on the Anything Cast Live and going to be posting the schedule on Monday, October 1st.
I'm sorry, I know it's new, but you forgot my new bi-weekly feature, which is the fanfic grab bag.
Yes, you can check that out every other Monday. Yeah, it's on iTunes. It has its own link. It has its own little pages on the site, and it has its own iTunes. So please subscribe.
Oh my Bobby's god, have an iTunes.
Yeah, Bobby is going to be reading Bobby's going to be doing dramatic readings of the best and worst fanfiction he can find on the internet.
Pretty much. Although it's not technically a dramatic reading, it's more like audiobook. But it's good. I also, you know, make fun of it intermittently.
Yeah.
Make a game of it. Try and figure out what's the actual fan fiction and what's me making fun of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, until all of that, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bobby One.
And I'm Flex Strong.
We'll see you guys next time.